All right, and we begin. We are on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Be'ezus Hashem. We will learn Yud Gimel Amud Beis today. Perhaps, and then some. We shall see. We are starting at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Tonight's limud is really broken up into two different... there are two different areas. There are two different themes of tonight's limud. The first one is going to be discussing... two statements of Rava, whether an Avel is mutter to wash in cold water. And Rava has two statements that are conflicting. There are two different Lashonos, two different people that say about what Rava said. And then the second is going to be the sugya about Anenu. Where in Tefillah do we say Anenu? And that will take up tonight's limud and perhaps even bleeding into... next Monday's limud, Be'ezus Hashem. So we begin. Amar Rava, Avel Mutter Lirchos B'tzonen Kol Shiva. Midi Dehavi Abisra V'chamra. Rava says, an Avel is permitted to wash in cold water for the entire 7 days of Avelus, just like he may eat Basar V'yayin, according to Rava. Meisvei. Now the Gemara says, really? Can an Avel really wash in cold water? I will show you from a brisa that is not the case, because the brisa says Eina bogeres rashal navelas atzma b'yemei eval aviha. A bogeres is not permitted to lenavel es atzma, to make herself look inappropriate, to make herself look ugly, or to make herself how do they translate navel? To make herself unpresentable. There you go. A bogeris is not permitted to make herself unpresentable because she's marriageable. She's of marriageable age. So during the avelus of her father, she is not allowed to look unpresentable. Hanara, which implies, the brice implies that it's only if she's a bogeris. But if she's a nara, now a nara is a woman or a girl who is between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. So she's still she's bas mitzvah. So she's chayeves in the mitzvos of avelus. She's not a katana. Katana would be completely mufka. She would be completely separated from these isurim, essentially. But a nara is still in the parsha of mitzvos, but she's not quite a gedola. A bulgaris who is a gedola above the age of 12 and a half, she has to already be concerned about her presentation or appearance. And therefore, she's not allowed to make herself unpresentable during the times of the avelus of her father. Now, what does it mean, the avelus of her father? There are two opinions as to what this means, the avelus of her father. Pashtus, it means the avelus of her father is referring to the fact that her father died, and now she's an avel. That would lead to a big kula, saying that she's not allowed to be unpresentable. As we'll see now, the Gemara is going to posit that that means with legabe rechitza, that she's not allowed to be unpresentable, which means that she has to be rochitz. She actually has to wash, even though her father died and she's an avelus. Nevertheless, according to that way of looking at it, she would be able to wash. She would be permitted to wash.
A bulgaris?
A bulgaris, exactly.
Now, is 12 and a half and
yeah, essentially, I mean, there are other dinim legabe heviyoshte saros, and we're not going to get into the puberty aspect of it, but essentially that's what it is. What? Yeah. So that, according to Rava, we see that it's not the halacha. But Rava wants to say that bas of a yayin and avil is permitted to have. We don't halacha. We don't know that. Oh, very good. What's the svar? We're going to get to that. The Gemara is going to discuss. Wow, I didn't even say anything controversial yet. I haven't gotten to the good stuff.
Wait a minute. My concept. You know, it says a Bogeris. Bogeris is someone 12 and a half. Okay. My understanding, my concept was that
essentially, there's other halachos.
Once you see. Once you see.
Apparently not.
Okay.
What I meant to ask before about the Bulgarians is once she's told in the head, assuming she meets the other requirements, she is a Bulgarian. She stays a Bulgarian until she's married, right?
She stays a Bulgarian until she's married. Okay. Does not revert, exactly. She does not revert back to her cotton.
Unless something unforeseen happens.
No, no. 12 and a half, 13, she's a Bulgarian.
What unforseen thing might happen?
I don't understand. Above it, at 12 and a half, 13, no matter what, she's a Bulgarian.
We see now, Nicholas Esther, that.
I didn't think this was going to be controversial.
There's no going back.
What
kind of goes back?
I don't know. It's amazing how much Torah we're getting out of this.
Would you want to give her a teddy bear?
Okay.
We see Nicholas Esther that. Maybe. That says, like, Nicholas Esther.
Yeah.
The Torah Hashirish calls all the Narot, and they're like, they're not 12. Yeah,
it's true. It's, I don't think it's a direct. I don't think it means dafka a nara, as in the halachic term nara. It just means a young girl. It means a young girl. The truth is also, the Torah calls Rivka a nara, even though the Medrash points out that she was only 3 years old. So it doesn't mean that she's a halachic nara. It just means a young girl. It's a general reference. But it's a good point. Callus, you're on the ball. Amazing. I only said I'm a rabbi.
The only one here that does it two or three times.
Anyway, the Gemara says Hanara Rasha. So we see that Anara is permitted to make herself unpresentable. So, my love, Berachitza, is this not talking about Rechitza? So even though the implication here is that Anara is allowed to make herself unpresentable, meaning that she's not supposed to be washing, nevertheless, that contradicts Rava. If we're going to say that this is talking about making yourself unpresentable with respect to rechitza, it's a problem. Ubamai, what kind of rechitza are we talking about? I mean, if you're going to say we're talking about hot water, ain't a bulgaris rasha, you're going to tell me that a bulgaris is not allowed to make herself unpresentable, meaning she has to wash? That cannot be true. The ha'amr of chizda avel aser lahoshet etzbal b'chamin. And Avel is usher to even put a finger into hot water, which is what we learned also on Monday. You can't put, an Avel cannot even put a finger in hot water. So it couldn't be to say that a Bulgaris has to wash in hot water. That couldn't be. Elalav Bitzoning. It must be talking about cold water. And the problem would be that the implication is that while a Bulgaris is not allowed to make herself unpresentable and she must wash, a Nara cannot wash. That goes against Rava's principle that an Avel is mutter lirchos betzonein. That's a problem with Rava. So the Gemara says, no. When we were talking about making herself unpresentable, we weren't talking about Rechitza. Rechitza is across the board, according to Rava, it's going to be mutter. Across the board, it'll be mutter. What are we talking about? Akichol pirchos. We're talking about kichol pirchos. Right? Kichol is wearing eyeliner, and pirchos is braiding her hair. Okay, yeah, am I in agreement with Art Scroll? Okay.
They say painting the eyelids.
Painting the eyelids. The eyeliner.
Look older.
So with respect to adorning herself with makeup and braiding her hair, a Bulgaris is not allowed to make herself unpresentable because her hair is a fine quality. So we don't want to make her unpresentable in that respect. But vis-a-vis Rechitza, no, we're in agreement with Rava. I says the Gemara. So the Gemara says now lema masayele. Huh?
Washing is more severe.
Severe in what sense? We're saying that rechitza is mutter. So what do you mean severe?
For on the level of we're saying like the sandal and the hospice and all these things, would that be in there as well? Like makeup is on the bottom of that as well, or is it more important?
I don't know if Pirchos, well, first of all, Pirchos is definitely not, is Pirchos, the question is Pirchos similar to washing the body? I would think that there's a reference in Rashi here that Pirchos, which is like braiding your hair or doing your hair, is like washing your body or washing clothes. So it would be a similar type of thing. It's your. I don't know exactly why. The truth is, I don't know exactly. Well, Rashi references it. I'm not going to get into it exactly, but Rashi references how Pirchos to hair is like washing to a body. Or like washing to clothes. Rashi makes such a reference, but I don't really understand exactly. If we're going to understand Pirchos' braiding hair, does he say braiding hair?
Yeah.
Braiding hair, so I don't know exactly how that's similar to washing. But maybe that was...
I don't see it.
When was the last time you braided your hair?
Never.
Rosh?
What's happening here?
This is a picture for a single girl, right?
Yeah, single.
Rosh?
Not Stom.
Rashi seems to say that Pure Coast is like washing the hair, is washing the hair, but then like there's
that.
Like some sort of a disagreement about that. It doesn't really mean that.
Lema Misayele. Shall we say that the following Brisa is a Raya for Rava? Okay? So we knocked off the previous Kasha. Now we're going to try to bring a Raya for Rava. The Amar Rabbi Abba HaKohen, Mishum Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Maisa, there was a story. We had this on Monday evening for those of you who chazer. I don't know, I'll raise your hand at one time. Maisa Umesu Banav Shal Rabbi Yossi Rab Chanina. There was a story, and the children of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina died. Verachat Mitzoni Kol Shiva. And he washed. Perfect. Es Lefishitas Rava. You're allowed to wash. It's beautiful. Beautiful Raya. Says Igmar, not so fast. Amri, they say no. Hasam Bishatachuhu Avelav Zach or Zeph, you recall. That was a back to back Avelus. That was a very, very sad situation.
What does that even bring here as an idea?
Because the Gemara did not know that. The Gemara did not initially.
That doesn't make sense at all. It said it before. That there's an exception.
Cross out Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We now move on to Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph.
No, seriously.
Until Moshe finds something wrong with Yud Dalet, we are going to learn just Yud Dalet. It's amazing how quickly we can do Siyumim if we just learn with Moshe. You could just knock off the sechter after the sechter.
Oh, you're not talking about me.
No.
He can only wash because of that circumstance.
What?
He can only wash because of that circumstance.
That's what the Gemara answers.
So you know it's an exception. It's not Shriach. So this doesn't make sense to bring it down again.
That doesn't make sense. Good. So the Gemara says.
But it's bringing it up in
this is a general question of the Gemara. If the Gemara knows what the answer is going to be, why is it asking in the question format?
You're assuming that the these sugyas were learned one after the other.
His question is, even if the Gemara is, even if they were learned, they were learned independently. But even so, the Gemara knew that it was all right. I'm not going to lose sleep over this question.
The question still blocked.
What?
It's a matter of they were learning or not.
He's asking a kasha on the flow of the Gemara. You know, like, I mean, the Talmud Yerushalmi is a lot more abrupt. Okay, it gives you question answer. It gives you the answer. Is you know, basic tick tock. The Bavli goes to the Biur. You know, what's the style? Why is that the style? I don't know. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi.
Actually, look here, and I might find it right here.
Look through the whole. Do the whole Gemara while we're learning tonight.
It's right here.
And let's say that this is a Raya, right? Fine, so the Gemara says, "Kishtachbu avilav zacher zeh." The Sanya, as we have a brisa that says, "Tachbu avilav zacher zeh." If in fact there is a case lo aleinu where a person has back-to-back aviluses, hichbid saro. Then, if a person's hair should get heavy, this is just an example of a type of something that he needs to take care of because the length of the avilus is really weighing him down. So if his hair gets heavy, meaning that he grows a lot of hair, mekel batar, he's allowed to take off the hair with a razor. Umachabis ksuso b'mayin, is even allowed to wash his clothing in water, even though normally an avel cannot do such things. Here we permit it because of an extenuating circumstance, so to speak. Amar of Chizda. Yeah, meaning he had a child who died, and then a child who died. It doesn't appear that there's a break, because if there were a break, he would have been permitted to wash in between.
So my question is, if there's two seasons in the world that happen to
grab a fire,
you can't get the full...
No pun intended. What?
Somebody dies, and then somebody dies one day after. Do they each get the 7 day or do they overlap with other people?
I don't know the answer.
It seems to be within the Shiva.
Let's say on Monday one person dies and a karov dies, and then on Tuesday a karov dies. What happens with the avilus?
No, but I thought this was talking about
He's asking a separate question.
On day seven.
Yeah, yeah. He's asking. Yeah, that's day seven. It's a 14-day avelus. But he's asking what happens. What would happen if there would be a Monday and a Tuesday? What you just go 7 days. You count 7 days from the Tuesday, right? Yeah, yeah.
That's the real question.
Right. You don't. Each one doesn't get its own 7 days.
So when you say that you cut it with scissors, so happen when your beard goes
with
out.
A razor. Actually, you can't use scissors. The Gemara is going
right.
to say.
Right. No. So. What about your beard when it gets goes? So you cut it with scissors.
I don't have a beard, so I wouldn't have to worry about
no,
that.
No, assuming you can't do a razor with your beard. You can't use a razor, so...
Yeah, you actually have to use a razor and kind of go like that. It's a very... it would be like a shinoidika way of doing it. That's the Gemara's point. Gemara's going to say, you can't use a scissor. You can't use a scissor because a scissor is kedarka. That's a normal way of doing it. Let's see the Gemara. Amar Rav Chizda betar velo b'misparayim. You got to use a razor to kind of cut it off that way. It's a very unusual way of doing it because you still want to mark the fact that you're still an avelus. You just want to. You just have so much hair that it doesn't look right, so you need to get rid of it. So you can do it with a tar, with a razor, but not with scissors. B'mayim velo b'neter, and you can use water, but you cannot use neter, which is. Borax, I thought, or something like that, or what is it? I don't know. A rock,
some kind of chemical.
Velo b'chol, you can't use sand. Velo b'ohel, you can't use that. I think ohel is aloe. What is ohel? How do they translate ohel?
Ohel.
Yeah.
And then they describe it as a substance used in laundering.
I thought it was aloe. No, it's not aloe.
It says, Aruch reports a Masorah that it is a type of plant substance.
Yeah, that was my next guess.
But neter, it says it's dirt.
Aloe is a plant substance.
What?
Aloe
is a plant substance, so maybe it is aloe. Aloha. I don't know what it is. At any rate,
Use like a mixture of powder and burn the daylights out in a piece of wood that you take from the beard.
Big of the Amri.
That's far away.
Now, that was one sheet of how we understand Rava. There was one sheet that said that Rava said that an Avel is mutter lirchol. The Ika da Amri is going to flip it and say, no, actually, Rava said the opposite. Ika da Amri, there are those who'd say that actually, Amar Rava, Avel aser bitzon in kol shiva. That an Avel is aser in cold water for the entire 7 days. Maishlami basav yayin. What would be different than basav yayin, which would be mutter according to Rava? So here we go. Here's the svara. Hasam. When it comes to basav yayin, why do we allow an avel to eat it? Lepafuche pachtehu the oven. That's because we need to ease his anxiety. The avel is going through such a traumatic. Time in his life, and therefore, in order to ease that anxiety and his emotional distress, we allow him to partake of basar v'yayin. But that's only for that reason. But you know, when it comes to washing, we would be more machmir and say that.
It's one of the yayin?
Yayin, yes. Basar.
Basar.
No. Yes.
It's one of the major distractions during the avelus.
What is?
The eating.
Eating is a distraction. Right, it's a distraction. Yeah, that's
constant eating.
What? Yeah, it's
constant. Who said he has to eat basar?
You don't understand. He might not want to.
What is the oven? You're saying the oven?
I bring it.
Yeah, but there's...
I set up the whole time. They keep coming to you when you want to eat some more, you want to eat some more.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you...
It's like a big... You're saying it's a big...
The eating you during the baby is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yes, you're saying it's a distraction.
So when you talk about easing your distraction,
right.
The one thing that does distract you from the Vedas, that makes you more social, is the eating.
Right. There you go. Exactly. There you have it.
Very good.
Can't argue with that.
Listen up.
Okay. So the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, okay, Lema Masayeli, let's try to bring a proof for this statement of Rava that an Avel is Usr. From the following case, which is the exact case we had before. We'll bring off the two cases that we had before. Eina bogeris rashel anavel esatzma. A bogeris is not allowed to make herself unpresentable. Hanara rasha, which implies that anara is permitted. She should make herself unpresentable. Bemai, what are we talking about? Ilema b'chamin, if you're talking about washing with hot water. Eina bogeris rasha, you want to tell me that a bogeris is not allowed to...
is not. It must wash with hot water. But Rav Chisda says no, that an avil is aser to even dip a finger into hot water. So it cannot be that a Bulgarius may partake of hot water. No way. Elalav bitzonin. We must be talking about cold water. And so it's telling you that when it comes to cold water, a nara is not allowed to partake of cold water. That's a raya for Rava. It's a perfect raya, says the Gemara. No, maybe that's not even talking about rechitza. As we said before, apkichul upirchus. It's talking about eyeliner and putting on and braiding your hair. So it's not talking about rechitza at all. And ena chanami, when it comes to rechitza, maybe in fact we would say that that would be mutter. We don't know. We don't know that that's a raya for Rava, that it's aser. Amar Rav Chisda.
What we're saying is, the Bulgaris and or the Naira can wash in cold water.
This is not, it's not a raya for that, but it could be. It could be, right? It could be. We don't know. We tried to bring a raya for Rava that it was usser. The Gemara knocks it off. The Gemara is madcha the raya, meaning it pushes off the raya. When the Gemara pushes off the raya, you can't bring a raya the other way. It's just pushing off the raya against it. So, okay. Now the Gemara says, Amar of Chisda, Zos Omeris, this implies, by the fact that we say, when it comes to Kichul Upirchus, that that the Bulgaris is not allowed to make herself unpresentable, but Anara is supposed to make herself unpresentable, this implies that an Avel Aser Betach Boses Kol Shiva, it implies that also an Avel would not be allowed to wash clothing the entire 7 days. Vehil Chesan, what is the bottom line halacha? What is the upshot of all of these gemaras that we learn? Here are the following halachos. Vehil Chesan, Avel Aser Lerchos Kol Gufo Ben Mechamin Ben Mitzonin. When it comes to washing your entire body, you can't use anything. Hot water, cold water, you're out. Kol Shiva, the entire 7 days. Av apan av yad v'ragla, but when it comes to washing parts of your body, like your hands, feet, and face, the chamin aser, we're going to aser it when it comes to hot water, but bitzonin mutter, but we're going to permit using cold water. Ava lasuch, but to anoint yourself with oils and whatnot, which would be soothing to the body. Afilu kol shehu aser. That is going to be across the board aser, unless ve'im la'averes hazuama. But if it's to relieve sweat, if it's to remove sweat or a stench, and you're doing it to put that on your body to relieve the stench or the sweat, mutter, then it would be mutter to that extent. But beyond that, you cannot do. What? Right, right, exactly. It wouldn't be derech hanasa. Right? To remove the sweat would not be considered derech hanasa. And that is that sugya. Now,
excuse me, before you go on, you didn't mention that there are two things. Both the Bulgarians and both the Nara, they're not in the parsha of getting married.
A Bulgarius is in the parish of getting married.
No, not.
Okay, very good. Okay, so we have a Bahlegis.
So therefore, yeah. so
I love it. What?
What?
No, what? Why is it?
No,
why?
So what? Therefore,
but what's there for you? You have to prove why she's not. Why is she not?
Because they're too young.
Bulgarius is not too
young. How old
is
a Bulgarian? Both.
12 and a half.
In our day,
she's 12 and a half. That means she's at least 12 and a half.
At least 12 and a half.
In those days, they got married younger than today.
They did. He did indeed.
You should have got married at 3, man.
Is that what should
you have to understand what that was.
I think the rock
is a very mature 11.
Do you know why the Gemara
is no mature level than 12 and a half and 13?
The, basically, the makeup and the braiding.
What time do you ever live?
It specifically says the eyeliner and not other makeup.
I don't know that back then.
Makeup in general.
I don't know that back then they did anything more than the eyeliner. I don't know if they used lipstick.
Oh, that's only because
the facial powder was blush. I don't know. It's a good question, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if those were as common. I think that the eyeliner was a very common
guy. Yeah,
but they also have stories. Have you ever heard about the Mishnah Shabbos? Mishnah Shabbos discusses the different makeups. And I think it also only references, when it comes to makeups, it only references the eyeliner. I don't think it references any other type. I mean, Tachshit and jewelry does, but not other, not right. other things. But anyway, I've lost the crowd. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. Now, the following Gemara is going to require a little bit of focus, so I'm glad that everybody is super focused on me tonight. So, it's good that we have a really focused group tonight, because the following Gemara is going to require that focus.
Where are we?
So,
baseball when you're ready.
What?
This is out of control. Here we go.
Where's the cat?
No 13-year-old boys get married, please. Even then. Other than the father might marry you off for money.
We're learning
Torah. Yeah, okay. We're going to pretend for the next 20 minutes that we're learning some Torah.
Another 20 minutes plus
okay. Okay, now we're going to the second segment of tonight's sugya. Okay, we're not going to be discussing a 12-and-a-half-year-old because that's apparently very controversial. Now we're going to be talking about... Now we're going to be talking about... Now we're going to be talking about Anenu, okay? The Tefillah of Anenu. Can we say Anenu during a fast day? Yes, no. What do you say, Moshe?
We do.
Oh, very good. So we're in agreement. So this might actually flow well tonight. Because we're all in agreement that we can say Anenu. This is fantastic. We should have just skipped to this sugya right away. But I had
to say it right away.
Here we go. Says the Gemara, Slosa de Tainisa Hechi Midkarinan. The prayer that we say in during the Tainis, which is Anenu, where do we mention it? Hechi literally means how. But the Gemara here is going to be discussing where in the Tefillah do we mention Anenu. This is a very halacha l'maisa sugya. Adabre Rav Yehuda l'Rav Yitzchak Brei. Rav Yehuda was leading Rav Yitzchak his son, meaning they were walking together. Vidarash, and he darshan the following. He said the following. Yachid shekibel alav tainis. A yachid who's makabel upon himself a tainis. It doesn't matter what kind of tainis. It could be a tainis yachid. It could be a tainis tzibur. It doesn't matter. If he's fasting, mispalel shel tainis. He must say the prayer of tainis, which is a reference to Anenu. He has to say Anenu. Veheichad omra. And where in Shemona Esrei does he say Anenu? Ben goel erofei. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that you say Anenu in a tefillah b'fnei atzma. It's a bracha b'fnei atzma. You say its own bracha, and the bracha is between Goel and Rofei, which is very common by us, by the Shliach Tzibur, says his own bracha, and he says that even the Yachid says it between Goel and Rofei. However, Maskifla Rav Yitzchak, his son, does not agree with his father. And he says, no, the Yachid Koveya Bracha La'atzmo. You're going to tell me that a Yachid is Koveya Bracha by himself? No way. Elam Rav Yitzchak, rather Rav Yitzchak says, the Shomei Tefillah. We're going to insert Anenu into Shomei Tefillah. So, where is it? We're not Messiahim, and then we say, Kiyata Shomei. So that's where Rav Yitzchak puts it in. So a basic machlokes, right? Rav Yehuda says it's a bracha b'fnei atzmo. You're adding a 19th bracha, essentially.
Really
without
a 20th bracha.
Really a 20th, but we'll call it Shmona Esrei. We'll call it plus one is 19. For the sake of the Gemara, it'll be very important, but just call it Shmona Esrei.
Fine.
And leave out the Malshinim, which came out later.
In the place where the Chazan puts it in the morning in our Tanisei Tzibur today, like, is that where that 19th bracha would be?
That's according to Rav Yitzchak. Yeah.
Okay.
According to Rav Yehuda.
It didn't say where it is.
Just between Goel and Rofei. Between Goel Yisrael and Rafaino.
It said between Goel and Rofei?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
It did say that. That's according to Rav Yehuda. But according to Rav Yitzchak, it's not a bracha b'fnei atzmo. It's inserted as part of Shema Kolenu. Right?
And
very good.
That's how we do it today.
And that's how we do it today. You just gave away the whole Gemara until Yodel and Avod Aleph, of course. But that's Kishi Tascha. Okay, so here we go. That's Rav Yitzchak's opinion. B'shamei Atfila. V'chein Amar Rav Sheshes B'shamei Atfila. And so too Rav Sheshes says B'shamei Atfila. So you have Rav Yitzchak and Rav Sheshes in one corner. And on the other corner is Rav Yehuda, who says that it is a bracha b'fnei atzma.
Handicap.
Jonathan Sasson wanted to say that the reason why Rukoveya the halacha that we say it in Shomei, that we say it in Shomei Tefillah is because you have a rabbim, Rav Sheshes and Rav Yitzchak against the Yachid, Rav Yehuda. So it was Yachid Rabbim halacha k'rabbim. That's what he thought. But I think that the Gemara, as we'll see, the Gemara goes on to question Rav Yitzchak. time after time after time, and time after time after time defends Rav Yitzchak. So it appears to me that based on the flow of the Gemara and the fact that the Gemara is so intent on defending Rav Yitzchak that the Gemara feels, at any rate, that the halacha should follow Rav Yitzchak. But anyway, we do paskin that we say it at Shomei Tefillah, and Rav Sheish just agrees. Meisvei, here we go. Now the Gemara is going to try to bring a kasha against Rav Yitzchak. And the Gemara is going to bring several kashas, answers. So just hang in there. Hang in there. We'll try to explain it and try to chazer it over and over so we got where the Gemara is going with this. So here we go. The following Gemara really, really goes on and doesn't stop until the two dots on Yudalev and Odalev. But because it's going to be too cumbersome to do it all, I'm going to try to break it up at some point, and then what we might have to do is, assuming that we don't get through this quickly, which we're probably not, because at some point I'm going to hit something controversial that Moshe is not going to like, and then we'll have to probably break it here, and then probably pick it up on Monday, right? And I'll have to chazer what we did on Thursday, because this is really one long sugya. But anyway, here we go. We're going to ask a kasha on Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak says that we say it in Shomei Tefillah. Really? Meisvei says the Gemara. I got a braisa to prove you wrong. The braisa says, Ein bein yachid l'tzibor. There's no difference between a yachid and a tzibor. Ela shezeh mispelo shmona esre, vezeh mispelo tusha esre. The yachid davens 18 brachos. The tzibor davens 19 brachos. Now says the Gemara, what exactly is a yachid and what is a tzibor? Gemara does not want to say that a yachid is a person who davens b'yachidus, meaning he davens at home, and a tzibur is a guy who davens b'tzibur, because really there should be no difference in the mahus of his davening. We don't see that there's a chiluk in the way a person davens, whether he davens at home or he davens with a tzibur, in shul. So the Gemara doesn't want to go there. So the Gemara is bothered. Why? What is a yachid and what is a tzibur? So says the Gemara, my yachid u my tzibur. Ile my yachid mamish v'tzibur is a shliach tzibur. If you're going to tell me maybe the yachid is referring to a person who davens a silent shmona esrei, and a tzibur is a reference to the shliach tzibur, and the shliach tzibur says an extra bracha because he's saying the soul bracha after Gal Yisrael. If you're going to say that, that can't be. Why? Because as we're going to learn later on Daf Tesvav, in a very lengthy Mishnah, Hani Tasha Esrei, Esrin Va'arbahavu. No, the Shliach Tzibur does not make 19 brachos. He actually says 24 brachos. In a tiny Tzibur, as we're going to learn on Daf Tesvav, in a tiny Tzibur, we add 6 brachos. And to those 6 brachos, we add 3 tekios in each one, so we have 18 tekios, and 6 brachos in addition to the 18 brachos that we say normally. So the Shliach Tzibur is not saying 19, he's saying 24. So if you're going to tell me that a yachid is a reference to a regular guy davening in shul, and a tzibur is a reference to the Shliach Tzibur, can't be, because the Shliach Tzibur would say 24, he would not say 19. So, elalav hachikamar, this is what it must be saying. Ein bein yachid de kabel alav tainis yachid. There is no difference between a yachid who accepts upon himself a tainis yachid, le yachid shekibel alav tainis tzibor, to a yachid who takes upon himself a tainis tzibor. Elosh zem ispalo shmona esrei v'zem ispalo tisha esrei. What it's talking about is about the same yachid. It's just a yachid who's mekabel upon himself a tainis yachid. Would only say 18, and if he says I'm going to accept upon myself either the fast of the tzibur or a fast like the tainis tzibur, then we would add another bracha. So we see, not like Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak wanted to say no matter what, he's only going to say 18 because he's inserting aneinu into Shemaya Tefillah. But according to this brisa, according to the way we got to learn this brisa, a yachid can in fact say an extra bracha when he's taking upon himself a tainis tzibur. There's going to be an extra bracha. That's not like Rav Yitzchak. And the braisa cannot be talking about a shliach tzibur, because if it were talking about a shliach tzibur, it would be 24, not 19. So get that out of your mind. Yeah? So far, so good. Okay. Very authoritative nod over there. I'm glad. Gemara says, Shma mina, yachid kovea bracha la'atzmo. We have a proof over here that in fact, indeed, a yachid is kovea bracha la'atzmo, not like Rav Yitzchak. Kasha and Rav Yitzchak. You sure you want to ask right now? They're getting good. Things are getting really good. Oh, man.
This individual...
had like five lines going. Like
this individual who's taking a fast upon himself.
Yeah.
Okay. The rest of the Kehillah is dominating a regular Shmona Esrei. There's no public fast.
L'chora.
Okay. Whereas, what about the case where this individual is taking on a personal... Can you take on a personal kindness at the same time as a public kindness?
Yes, you can. It would be, he'd be taking upon himself a tinus seaboard. He'd be taking upon himself the same tinus.
No, but I'm saying,
if everybody else is fasting, he's got to fast too, no?
Right.
Very good, we're done.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. But he's doing something additional for himself, no?
He's having two scotches instead of
one. No, he's not. He's just fasting. Fasting a tinus seaboard.
David, that's good, right?
I don't understand. How is he taking a personal fast on the day of the tinus seaboard?
He's taking upon himself the same fast as the seaboard. He's just fasting like the Jewish fasting.
Scotch.
What does that mean?
You're saying he doesn't fall anyway. What's it pick
up on? Right. The way I understand in a Hanami. So the way I understand the Gemara really is that he's makabel upon himself a fast like a tainis tzibur, which is what we had before. We had this in the Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph or Yud Beis, where a person can take upon himself a fast, and we had a case where we were unsure whether he took upon himself a fast like a tainis yachid or a fast like a tainis tzibur. So anyway, that's the way I understand the Gemara, because otherwise you're right. There's no Kabbalah's tainus when you're fasting Shivasa B'Tamuz. Shivasa B'Tamuz, you got to fast. You're not Kabbalah's tainus, there's no such thing. All right. And you're right. You're right. And Echanami, you're right. You're right. You're right. And?
He's right.
All right.
What?
What do you mean threshold?
Does it become a tiny seaboard if it's an entire kahila? Yes.
For sure, if the whole tiny seaboard is doing it, it's a tiny seaboard. The chiddush is that a yachid can even be makabel upon himself a tiny, like a tiny seaboard, with all the stringencies involved in that too. Okay. At any rate, what we have right here is so far we have the Gemara that brings a clear kasha on Rav Yitzchak, because the Braisa says that it doesn't matter what kind of tainus he's taking upon himself, he's going to say if he's a yachid, then he's going to if he's a tainus should come makabel upon himself a tainus sibur, he's going to fast. He's going to say another bracha of anenu, and that is not like Rav Yitzchak, who says regardless of what kind of fast he fasts, he's going to insert the anenu into Shema Tefillah. Okay? The Braisa cannot be talking about a Shliach Tzibur. The Shliach Tzibur would say 24. Now the Gemara is going to say, no. Maybe, in fact, it could be talking about a Shliach Tzibur. How can we be talking about a Shliach Tzibur when a Shliach Tzibur has to say 24, like we'll learn in the later Mishnayis? The Gemara is going to explain. So the Gemara says, lo, la'olam e'melacha Shliach Tzibur. Really, I'll tell you, it's not a Kasha and Rav Yitzchak at all. And we're talking about a Shliach Tzibur. But a Yachid in Echanami only says 18. Oh, the Kasha lo Shliach Tzibur esrim ve'arba matzli. You had a question, but a Shliach Tzibur takes upon himself, a Shliach Tzibur has got to daven 24 brachos, not 19. Begimel Tanya Sarishonos. If you remember, we have three sets of fasts. We have the first three sets, which are very makil. We have the next three sets of fasts, which are a little bit more chamor. You add some isurim there. And then the last seven, which add more stringencies. So the Gemara says, maybe when it comes to the Gimel Rishonos, there's no additional six brachos. So this Bryce is talking about the Gimel Rishonos, and there's no additional six brachos for the Shliach Tzibur. And in a Hanami, the Bryce is talking about a Shliach Tzibur, and it's not a Kashim Rav Yitzchak at all. We're talking about a Shliach Tzibur. He adds one more, because he says his bracha bein goel rofe. A Yachid says it at 18. And everything is shiny, happy, people laughing. Yeah, so the Gemara says, "Begimel Tanias Rishonos, Deleka Esrim Va'arba," where there are 24. So then we're perfect. We don't have a problem with the Brice against Rav Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, "Velo, you want to tell me really You're going to tell me that the first three fasts, we don't have 24. The Shliach Tzibur does not add six brachos? I will tell you, you are wrong. Because v'ha ein bein ketani. We have a brisa that says ein bein. For those of you who have learned Gemara Megillah, you'll know all too well about the ein beins. But if a brisa says ein bein, there is no distinction. It means there is no distinction. Ein bein ketani. We have a brisa that says ein bein. What is the brisa? Ein bein gimel rishonos l'gimelam tz'ios. There is no difference between the first three sets, the first set of three, and the second set of three. Ella, except for one fact. Shebe'elu mutarn basiyas malacha, ube'elu asurin basiyas malacha. In the first three fasts, in the first set of three, there's no isur malacha. We add the isur malacha to the second three. So we see the brisa says, ein bein. There is no distinction between the first set and the second set, except for asiyas malacha. But ha lechav dalid, with respect to 24 brachos, zevzeh shoven. It should be equal. And if by the second set, the Shliach Tzibur's got to say an additional six, Mistama by the first set, he's got to say an additional six. And if he has to say an additional six, then the Braisa that we brought cannot be talking about a Shliach Tzibur. It must be talking about a Yachid. Kasha on Rav Yitzchak. Back Kasha on Rav Yitzchak. Yeah? So the Gemara says, no. When the Braisa says, ain't bain, it's Tana V'Shiur. What's Tana V'Shiur? It learned in Isser Malacha. It learned one thing. It learned that the distinction between the first set and the second half is Asiyas Malacha. V'Shiur. And it left over, it left out other things. Meaning, it's Lav Dafka Asiyas Malacha. It's Asiyas Malacha and other things. Like six brachos. That in the second set, we say six brachos, and in the first set, we don't. So the Gemara says, Tana V'Shiur. Maybe the Braisa is Lav Dafka Asiyas Malacha. Maybe it left over a couple things, and one of them is the Chavdal. So the Gemara says, no. In order for you to be Shiur, in order to say that the Braisa left out things, it needs to leave out multiple things. The Braisa wouldn't list one thing and then leave out one thing. It would leave out multiple things. Because it would be silly for the Braisa to leave out just one thing. So the Gemara says, my Shiur, the high Shiur. What else did it leave over? If you're going to tell me it left over, or left out, brachos. There's got to be something else that it left out. And it didn't leave anything out. Visu. And furthermore, v'ha ein bein ketani. It says, ein bein. Ein bein is lav, is dafka. There is no distinction. There is no distinction between the first set and the second half. Second set, except for Asiyas Malacha. That's dafka. It says ein bein. There's no distinction. That's very dafka. So if there's no distinction between the first set and the second set, except for Asiyas Malacha, it must be that legabe, the brachos, the extra six brachos, they're equal. And if we're saying by the second set, you do say an additional six brachos, then by the first set, you got to also. And so the Shliach Tzibur, if you're going to say that the Braisa is talking about a Shliach Tzibur, the Shliach Tzibur would have to say 24. And so again, the Braisa would have to be talking about a Yachid, and again, Kashan Rav Yitzchak. We're back to Rav Yitzchak. Woo! Loving it. So the Gemara says, right? You guys are not loving it? I'm kind of loving this. All right. Anyway, the Gemara says, Ella Tana be'isuri kamairi betfilos lo mairi. No. See, the Braisa is only talking about Isurim. It wants to mention the distinction between the first set and the second set. It wants to talk to you about Isurim. What kind of Isurim? Like Asiyas Malacha. But it's not talking about Tfilos. Tfilos is a different Zach. It doesn't want to talk about Tfilos. The Braisa is dedicated to Isurim, so it tells you, Ein Bein, there's no distinction in Isurim between the first set and the second set. Ella, Asiyas Malacha. But yeah, with respect to Chavdalid, there is a distinction. And so again, we can answer for Rav Yitzchak and say that there's a distinction between the first set and the second set. And the second set will, Shliach Tzibur will say 24, and in the first set he will not. He will only mention one, and the Braisa can go like Rav Yitzchak because it's talking about a Shliach Tzibur. So we have now resolved Rav Yitzchak. Now, I am Mesupak whether we should leave it here or we should go weiter. You guys look so jazzed up that you're saying Thursday night, you got to help your wife, and even if you don't, you want to get out of here. Okay, we're going to stop here. Landau has
so Monday night.
Decreed. So Monday night, we pick up with this Gemara. We will do a quick chazar of this because the Gemara continues and it gets even more aggressive. And then we will wrap it up and get into the next Gemara, which is about Masriyan. It's a fascinating Gemara.
David,
that's 45 minutes, so you gotta love it.